All right, this is the maintenance call. I'm going to let all y'all come in. We'll get started. If you want to be coached and you are in maintenance, if you will go ahead and raise your hand, we can get started. Let me tell y'all about the new maintenance program. This month, we have module one that released. Module two is coming out. It should be, I think it releases maybe tomorrow. It'll release August 1st at the latest, but usually we try to get things out on the 25th. Let me look it up and tell y'all what the module is. I've already filmed it and wrote it a little bit ago, so I don't have it in front of me, and I never can remember stuff that I've done. Let me find my scripts. Ready for proofing. One. Module two, we're going to talk about the easing up trap. We are also going to, I'm going to be giving you lots of tips of what successful people do in maintenance. And then we are going to really dive into imposter syndrome, because the entire maintenance program is about, we have to have a shift in identity. So you can take this course at any time, even if you're not in maintenance. There's a lot of things in there that are helpful for everyone. Then the next month, let me go back, is, I just wrote it. I can't believe I can't remember. Then in September, y'all will be getting Regain Fears, what to do if you regain any weight inside of maintenance. We're going to talk about happy weight and set point weight. And we're going to talk about testing new strategies while you're in maintenance. So those are some of the things that are coming up. And then in October, the entire course is going to be all about rebuilding your body image after you've lost weight. All right. So if you want coaching, you need to raise your hand. So far, there's not a single maintenance person that would like to be coached. So if y'all don't want coaching, this is going to be a super quick call. We've got 230 of you. Somebody's bound to want to get coached today. Here I am. I'm just going to, or you can ask a question in Q&A. If you would like to ask a question in the Q&A, more than happy to just answer questions there. But as of right now, nobody wants to get coached. All right. I am 5 pounds from goal, but feel like I am not done. Why? Well, number one, make sure you do take the maintenance course, because I explain a lot of that there. Feeling like you're not done is a thought. Like, if you're 5 pounds from goal, like, ask yourself, why don't I feel like I'm done? What are the thoughts that are generating this incomplete feeling that you have? You will want to answer that question, and you want to answer it purposely. One of the things we talk about in maintenance is answering questions on purpose. Like, Corinne doesn't know why you feel incomplete. Your brain will tell you, this is the thought that I have about being 5 pounds from goal. And when I think this, it makes me feel incomplete. And then you have to ask yourself, what do you want to think? And then the next question, why do I start to sabotage myself when I'm so close? If you've not listened to module one yet inside of maintenance, make sure you start there. Then next month, the next one that's coming out, where we talk about the easing up trap, there is a lot of imposter syndrome and stuff that goes on in there. All right, Julianne, she wants to get coached. What is a power thought that helps the queen stay the course with the basics? This is how I want to live. Literally, I just tell myself, this is how I want to live. Like, I want to be the kind of person who plans. I fall in love with the process of everything that I do in maintenance. Like, I tell myself all the reasons why. Like, one of the things that when the successful people module, like what we think and do, you're going to love that one. I can pull up some of the script and tell you a little bit about what it talks about. Let's see. The first thing that successful people do is doubt they can keep their weight off in the beginning, knowing that doubting is a normal part of the process. We want to trigger those thoughts, and then we want to purposely rewrite them. Linda, I don't care if you're in your pajamas. Who cares? Julianne, what do you want coaching on?
Hi, Corinne. Thank you, thank you, thank you for pulling me up. So I have been in No BS since, I think, December of 2019. I lost over 125 pounds.
Good for you.
Not before, a little bit before no BS and in.
That's
no
okay. BS. I'm not going to take it away. Oh, well, those don't count.
I know, right? But so last year I reached what I thought was my maintenance goal, which, I mean, it was like a dream come true. It was like in the 120s for me.
Okay.
I was running, I was exercising, I felt good about myself. And then life happened and boom, I just started to gain all over again. So I took an 8-month hiatus from my running and really planning and doing everything. And then I said, this is crazy. What am I doing? Like, just get back to basics. So I got back to basics and now I'm getting down to what I think might be my goal weight or my goal range. So I listened to Coach Betsy the other day and she talked about how she had one maintenance goal weight a couple years ago. And now she's got a different maintenance goal weight. But in my brain, I'm still going, okay, well, you gained all this weight back from last summer, but now you're losing it again and trying all kinds of different things and doing the program like a boss. Mm-hmm. But I'm still struggling with, okay, what is maintenance? And I know it's all about how you feel and what you want and all that, but part of me still has that number in my brain that's like, okay, you need to get to this number. And I'm still having a hard time working on that.
Why do you need to get to that number? What's that number going to do for you?
It's not going to do anything for me.
You wouldn't want it if your brain didn't think it was going to do. So I'm looking for what your brain thinks it's going to do for you. Yeah. Like intellectually, you're like, yeah, it's not going to do shit. But what is your brain thinking that it's going to do?
My brain's thinking that it's a number in my head that I've had since I was like a teen angel. Like, okay, I'm 63 years old and why do I want to weigh what I weighed when I was, I think, 16?
Well, tell me why you would want to weigh what you weighed at 16.
Probably because when I was 16 and I weighed that amount, I felt really good about myself. And I feel
that wasn't because of what you weighed. What were you thinking at 16 that you don't think at 63?
Probably that I am like a hot little chick or something. You know, I don't know. It's maybe the way I felt about myself and my body at that time.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to weigh that and still think the way you do today? Or would you like to think the way you did at 16 and figure out if you even want to lose more weight?
No, I don't want to go back to 16. I'm fine where I am right now. I really want to be like, okay with whatever. I know I can choose what I want to weigh, but I'm still confused about how do I know what my goal weight is? Like when I listened to Betsy, I was like, she's got it figured out. I feel like I can't.
Do you know why she has it figured out? It's a real simple answer.
No. Why?
She decided what number she wanted.
Yeah.
And then decided this is what it's going to be. And she shut down thinking all the other things that she should be.
Okay. Okay.
Like all of you are just like, how do y'all figure this out? Like what number? You're going to find out in, I believe it's the third module and that one comes out in a couple months. Happy weight. Yeah. So you're going to love the month of September. It's regains, fearing regains, happy weight, happy weight coaching we've already done, the set weight that many of us have, like what is a set point and all that kind of stuff. I talk about that and testing maintenance strategies. All I say basically in there is like your happy weight is number one, the one you decide it's going to be, and it fits the way you want to live your life. For some of us, our happy weight is not what we weighed at 16. Mm-hmm. At 63, are like, were you, I don't know, maybe you were, but and I don't even know if you drink now, but like when you were 16, were you drinking? Were you going on date nights? Like a lot of times what we forget is that a 16-year-old and a 63-year-old have very different lifestyles.
I know.
You know, like when you're 16, you may not go on vacations and do elaborate things and all that kind of stuff. You also, at 16, your body has no reason to want to store a lot of fat because it doesn't think it needs to protect you. At 63, your body is like, you do not need to break a hip, mama. I'm going to put a little cushion around the tushin.
Yep.
That doesn't mean like, but this is like normal stuff though. I think we forget about biology. You like, I'm not saying you can't weigh what you weighed at 16. I'm just saying question why you would want to be there so bad.
Right.
Does that actually align with the life you want to have now? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So like Betsy and I are very similar. I talk about this story inside of the maintenance program later. Y'all haven't seen this one yet, but when I first lost weight, I had like 135 pounds. I had lost way more than 100 pounds. I did like, so I lost and got to 150. Then I decided I'm going to do bikini and bodybuilding competitions. So then I got, was like getting to the 135 mark. I really liked how I looked. Now, I still tore myself up over my loose skin, but I would just say, like, I was like, my arms looked fabulous. My back was on point, but I hated everything I had to do to be there.
Yeah.
I spent the majority of my day bored with my food. I rarely could go out with my friends because I just had no desire to sit there and watch them eat whatever they wanted and me be like, well, here I am. Like, I'm just going to have to like enjoy being the one not eating. That is something that we all can do. I do that now at times with my husband. Like, we'll go out and I'm like, I'm not hungry. But that, like, when I was trying to weigh 135, I could never drink. If I drank at all, my body wouldn't respond well. If I did, like, I had to exercise twice a day. Now, I was also doing bodybuilding competition, so it's very normal to exercise twice a day during that stage, but I had to do cardio and I had to lift weights 6 days a week. And I mean, I spent probably 80% of the time feeling like all I did was figure out how to stay at 135 pounds. And I hated it. I wanted to have date nights. I wanted to be able to go out and drink sometimes. I wanted to be able to go on vacations and, you know, eat some food and stuff. And not like have to suffer because of it. My body just at one for 135 had to like have a food lifestyle that I was like, I don't like this. I wanted to be able to take walks. I didn't want to have to like go to the gym and hit the step mill and do HIIT and burpees and all that stuff. I was like, oh my God, it's killing my joints. I got to where exercise was painful. I was like, God, I keep this body. It was so much work. So all I did was question and be like, what kind of life do you really want to have? And I was like, I don't want to be an emotional eater. I want to, like, when I drink, I want to do it because I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of myself with my husband. But I will not, I don't want to be the kind of person who drinks because of a bad day. Like, I really thought about the person I wanted to be. And when I figured that out, my weight settled in between 150 and 160.
Yeah. You make a good point there. I think I need to do some thought work and some journaling around what I really want with my maintenance weight. Because just like you said, I did the same thing last year. I was crazy about running and exercising and trying to keep it all down. And it just, I just couldn't sustain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something interesting that you said earlier, and I want you to just really think about this. You said life happened and then a regain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I had to now go back to work.
Right. But now what you're saying is it was so much work.
Was, yeah,
that it didn't even fit in my life.
Right.
Because
right.
This is the way I think about your maintenance and your happy weight range, like all of this. And I promise all of y'all that's coming in September, but I like to think about it as like, it's got to fit even when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and I really thought about the things that I wanted that could transcend the hardest moments of my life. That's why I didn't gain a bunch of weight in COVID.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing anything so extraordinary that we just couldn't keep doing during COVID because I had decided I was not an emotional eater. So I didn't sit at home eating because I was worried about what was happening in the world. And I told everybody this would happen. I'm sure we did coaching videos. Said one of these days, we are all going to wake up and we're going to be back to just going places, going to work and all this other stuff. Are you going to want to be the person who's like, I gained weight eating over COVID worrying? Or do I want to be the kind of person who said, I'm going to let this happen and I'm not going to eat over it? So it's like, for me, I always think about, like, I want to set myself up in such a way where I know that I will not be emotionally eating. That's why I continue to plan to this day. Yeah. Because when I'm planning and I'm not following my plans, I have the trigger in place to be able to question why. So that stuff doesn't just happen anymore. We act like it's like when you quit looking at things, yeah, it feels like it just happened, but it never did. When you continue to do the stuff, even if you're not following it, at least you have a clear picture of what's not working and you still have some foundational habits that when you're ready to make it work, you're still doing it.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. You'll really enjoy, like, for now, just be thinking about, I think you should just journal on what is it that if I weighed the same when I was 16, that I would allow myself to think and feel about me now? Mm-hmm. And how can I start thinking and feeling about that, like, today? How can I start having that thinking now? And then it will make it really clear for me if I want to continue to go.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Dolores, y'all come out of the woodwork now. Everybody got their hand raised. Oh. Hey, Dolores.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've been following you and a member for quite a while, couple years, and
awesome.
I've lost all my weight, and I got private coaching with Christy, and it really helped me a lot. I'm confident that I can keep my weight off. I'm at maintenance level, but that's kind of like where I have a question. Right now, I'm a little bit over maintenance level. Right now I have COVID. I just got back from a long road trip and vacation. And so in the last couple of days, I'm up a couple pounds, and that doesn't matter. What matters is the mindset. Is there a difference in mindset between maintenance and when you go a little bit above your, where you want to maintain and you need to come down? Is there a difference in the way we think as a weight loss versus maintenance? I'm not sure how to be flexible in that.
So what is your thought currently?
My thought
about being like, yeah, just tell me your thought currently that you're exploring.
that I think differently when I'm actively losing weight versus maintaining.
Okay. So what is the thoughts then? So when you're actively losing weight, give me one of the thoughts you utilize.
To stop short, that I should stop short of short of enough a little bit.
Okay. And then when you're actively maintaining?
Then I usually stop at enough, but a little bit
Okay.
Not full ever, but right. Comfortable, I guess is the right.
So there is, I talk about this in the course that you're fixing to get modules about this. Mm-hmm. Is what you're saying though is not a mindset shift. It's a tactical shift. So I want you to think about how many pounds are you up total out of your range? Are you out of your range?
I'm out of my range by 4 pounds. My range is 145 to 150.
Okay.
And I'm 154.
Okay. So do you want to lose the 4 pounds? Do you want to get back into your range? Okay.
I do for medical reasons. It's really good for me because I have some bone issues and things.
Okay, good. I just, that's a rock solid reason. So when you talk about, is there a mindset shift? The main mindset shift for you would just be, I'm outside my range. I have really good reasons to why I want to get back into it. And then when you think that, then you feel like focused, you feel aware. And then the do line of the think, feel, do cycle becomes switch from eating to like full or comfortable to go back to eating to just below enough, eating to a little bit less than I'm eating now. And then that should get my 4 pounds down. I mean, that's just so the differences between maintenance and weight loss are not much. Like the way that I teach all of you to like lose your weight, you're not going to shift much. When you hit maintenance, I can have drinks a couple nights a week. I can, like when I go on vacation, I can drink or eat. Can't do both without gaining some weight. That's just my body. That's not everybody's body. And when I track that, I'm just like, all right, I'd rather drink than eat. So, you know, I'm happy to make that trade. I'm just like, but my mindset in maintenance is always, I'm willing to do what I need to be here. And I can always pick the most fun things and make sure those are included. And then like the other things, I'm just like, they don't matter as much to me. So, but tactically, there's not tons of difference. Now, if you need to go back to weight loss mode, really what we're going to do is we're just going to eat a little bit less and making sure we're waiting for hunger. When you're in maintenance, like I can get away with eating to almost full. And my body just maintains right here. If I wanted to lose 5 or 10 pounds, I would need to just ratchet back a little bit of the food that I'm eating. I would probably just serve myself less. I would do that for 2 or 3 weeks. And I would be really mindful of any extras. So like in maintenance, if say Logan's having something, sometimes like he'll say like, do you want a bite? And I'll say, yeah. If I'm trying to actively lose, I'll just say, no, thank you. So it's just little things. And one of the things that I'm trying to teach y'all in maintenance too, is it's once you get into maintenance, there's just some experimentation that happens. You have to be very open to that process. Experimentation is going to be in, I believe, module 3, which is coming out. I know I keep like looking up September. This is the first time we've rolled a course out like this. And it's like, it's hard for me to remember when things are happening. But in that one, I talk about you want to still be tracking what you're doing. I think one of the most important things is maintenance people continue to plan for a while. So that if you are like I love tracking when I'm eating off plan, because I can see these behaviors are either going to add weight or they're not right now. And I want to know what my typical behaviors are so that I don't have to wake up one day and be like, oh my God, I'm 5 pounds out of range. I don't know what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. If I wake up and I'm 5 pounds heavier, I want to be like, I know exactly what to work on because I've still been tracking it. I've still been watching it. I've still been monitoring it.
Okay.
And then I have that guidance.
I always tell myself these are dumb questions, and you always say there are no dumb questions, but mentally, when I'm in maintenance, it's like there's one mindset. And when I was losing weight, and I've lost 300 pounds total in my life, I've lost about 100 pounds three times.
Okay.
This is the last time. I mean, I'm doing, you know, so I'm determined. This is it. Maintenance is really important to me. But losing, it seems like I always have a different mindset. Is it odd to get a feeling of fear when you gain a few extra pounds out of your weight? Yes.
No, it's not odd. It's normal. Your brain is going back to the old experiences. That's all that's happening. So there is module three, you're going to love. Like module three, I think has been written for you, Dolores.
I wrote it for you
without you even knowing. Yeah, but it's very normal. So when, have you watched module one yet of the maintenance course?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. A couple times. So I talk about like when we hit our maintenance, like weight, it's like we are introduced to a new human and we have to have new thoughts about it. Otherwise, our brain goes to old thoughts. The same thing can happen in a regain. So like for anyone that has lost and gained weight, I want you to think about when you gained weight before, you probably traumatized yourself. Like, I bet there was a lot of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you did this again. You're probably never going to lose weight. And then the second time you did, you're like, oh my God, here we go again, slippery slope, blah, blah, blah. We gained the weight. Then we got to lose it all again. Your brain is just going to its old thinking about 5 pounds because it doesn't have you actively telling it what to think about it. So that's how brains work. It's like when your brain is presented with something, it's like, unless you tell me how to think, I have to go and search through my files and I'm going to pull out, oh, she gained weight like twice in her life where she regained 100 pounds. And here's the thinking that she used. Let's send that up today because it doesn't know better. So that doesn't mean that that thinking's true. It will feel scary. It will feel very true. But your brain is actually saying, hey, till you tell me different, we're going to be terrified and we're going to think like shit. So you have to be like, oh, wait, no, let me tell you different. Because I would much rather be thinking something like, I'm so lucky to be in Nobius. We work on the thoughts. Like this last 100 pounds, this is the last time that I do it. It's very normal to have a few swings and I'm going to be really good at the swings. And then you can also go back and be like, all right, those 5 pounds, how did they come on? What makes sense about them? So one, you've had COVID. What was the other reason? Like, so why do you think you gained 5 pounds?
Well, I went on a long road trip and a teacher reunion. Saw a lot of friends and I ate out a lot, but I did maintain it. It's just since I got home and then I got COVID and I know how to have been grazing and just comfort eating, but it sure comes on fast.
Well, it feels like it comes on fast, but it really doesn't.
Yeah.
Like how many weeks have you been vacationing and comfort eating?
Yeah, that was almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, so the comfort eating, not so long, just 4 or 5 days, but yeah. And then prior to that on the road for almost 2 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you combine 2 weeks on the road out of routine, but there's always a little bit of travel bloat there. COVID always has bloat with it. Like if you get any kind of, if you get a cold or something, you can almost guarantee you're going to gain 2 to 3 pounds. That's your body's best defense against any kind of attack on the immune system is to hold water. Water mm-hmm. is the building and repairing molecule for the body. Like it loves to flood itself with water as insurance. Water is it is what keeps the engine running for all of us. So when we're sick, it naturally holds more water. Plus you've been covered eating and grazing. So you just tell yourself, oh, these are the things that led to this 5 pounds. So one is I can continue to keep drinking water and I can take care of myself with the COVID, but I notice I'm comfort eating. So what is so uncomfortable? Like, why do I feel like I need to comfort with food? What is the thoughts that I'm having that I can address in a comforting way on paper. My brain just thinks we need to comfort with food, but I want to like get ahead of it. So every morning I'm going to be like, what's really bothering me right now? Where I can calm myself down. I can write about it. I can like allow for comfort. And then you may actually want to have like a couple of times during the day where you just remind yourself, like, I am taking care of myself.
Okay.
I am doing things for myself. Because when we want to comfort eat, it's because we're not comforting ourselves mentally.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I know there are a lot of other questions and I so appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. And congratulations on your 100.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Diane? Let me tell y'all a story about bloating. So we've been going on a lot of trips this summer, plus with all the heat. I have never had this happen before, but I didn't notice it until about 3 trips ago. I would come home or we would land where we were going and my left foot would be swelled like it was when I was pregnant. And then every trip, it has stayed longer and longer. So I finally like asked my doctors, like, is this a problem? And they're like, have you been traveling and sitting a lot? So when we travel, not only do I sit on the airplane for 3.5 hours, but I also sit at a poker table for 8 hours. Like I'm just like no movement city. And like even today, my fucking left foot is decided to swell up again because I went for a hot fucking run today. And so I just want to tell all of you, even me, who does the best she can, that's bloating and swelling that happens. But my foot looks like a busted can of biscuits right now. I'm just like, God love you, Corinne. All right, Diane, what are we coaching on? Wait, we got to get you unmuted. You're just a talking and I can't hear a word you're saying. There you go. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I've been following the maintenance course. I'm 5 pounds from my goal and my first goal, which might be my last. I haven't decided yet, but I'm like afraid to do maintenance because I haven't reached my goal and I've never reached my goal. I think I've talked to you. You've coached me before and I had a size goal and a weight mm-hmm. goal.
Okay.
And I'm in my size goal, okay. but I'm not in my weight goal. And I feel like a failure that I'm not in at the weight goal.
Why do you feel like a failure? Are you actively still working on it?
Yes. And actually, I've been a member with you for, will be a year next month. And it's really helped me a lot with, I do my plan 100% of the time. I do my water like 95% of the time. The big thing is I'm looking at my data and I'm not judging myself. And I realize what I'm doing wrong, but I'm still not getting there. And
okay, so when you say this is what I'm doing wrong, what is it?
I don't always follow my plan. I have I've been tracking off eats. I've been doing the discovery sheets on that, and I know what I'm doing.
What are you doing? When you say that, I know I'm what not, I'm doing. What do you know?
I'm not following through. I'm not doing what I say I'm going to do.
Okay. So give me an example of a time when you didn't follow your plan. You planned what, but ate what?
Okay. So yesterday was a good example. I had planned to have an egg sandwich. I just like fry an egg hard and put it on bread and
oh
eat
my
that.
God. For Please lunch. Tell me you use mayo.
No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You must not be Southern.
No, I use ketchup. I use ketchup.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that. I am like a fried egg sandwich like fan. So anyway, I digress. You're taking me back to my grandparent roots where my grandfather used to make the best fucking fried egg sandwich with a slice of garden tomato on it. All right. So now that I've totally squirreled off, you were going to have an egg sandwich and you decided to have what?
Well, we had to go do an errand, and my husband, who never has an appetite, he eats very poorly. He's got cancer, but that's another whole story. He wanted to go out for lunch because he said he was hungry, which was like, wow, you know, that's okay. A first. So, okay, yeah. Let's go to lunch.
Yeah.
So we went to a restaurant, was one of our favorites, that still has brunch on Saturdays too. Okay. So I had two eggs over easy. It came with eggs, bacon, and potatoes. It came with three slices of bacon and some
No, that's okay. But like when you ate it, did you eat
I ate to enough, and I only ate the two eggs. I only ate one slice of bacon, and I had a few bites of the potatoes.
Okay. So I don't think the off-plan eats is keeping you from losing 5 pounds, because if that's pretty equal in swapping, like you did your best, you thought through it, you were eating to enough, you were doing that stuff. Outside of that, unless you're swapping a salad for nachos or something.
No.
Okay. No. So you can just be honest, there's no right or wrong answer, but would you summarize that if you eat off plan, that you are still in integrity with thinking through your food and trying to make the best choice you can and that kind of stuff?
Sometimes I'm not, especially if my granddaughter's here.
Okay. Give me that example.
Okay. So, she's 8 and she comes to go swimming. We have a pool, and, she'll want her favorite, Oreo cookies, because she knows grandpa always has them here because he lives on them, or she wants some goldfish, little crackers.
Okay. And what does grandma do in that situation?
Well, she'll offer it to me. And sometimes I say, no, I don't want any. And then she'll, oh, come on, grandma, just have one. And I realize that I'm still people pleasing because it's hard for me to say no.
Okay. So those are reasons why we're not losing 5 pounds. So the reason why I asked you this is we always want to get really clear on the reasons why we might not be losing 5. And you've uncovered something. It's my next 5 pounds is going to require me to no longer people please my granddaughter. So if my granddaughter is insistent on me enjoying catfish and Oreos, how can I say no and both of us be like, yes? How can we both win in this situation?
Well, I've decided what I'm going to tell her is that, no, thank you. I only eat when I'm hungry, and I'm not hungry right now. That's what I'm going to tell her.
So that's one thing. But then she's like, no, no, no. Live a little, grandma. Come on now. How old is she?
8.
I'm 8. You can't tell this face no.
Yeah.
Now what? Because the people pleaser knew. If she keeps asking, it's like, sweet grandma is going to be like, okay. But I want you to think about, how can we both win? Because right now, when you say that to her, that's more like, this is what I need to say on plan. But I want you to come up with what you could say where it's like, we're both happy with my choice.
other than, no, I don't want any right now, but you enjoy it.
That's you one way, but let me tell you what I would say.
Okay.
I would say, oh, I'll take it. Do you care if I eat it later?
Oh, okay.
And I would get a plate and I'd be like, I'm going to put it on this plate so I don't forget it. And I am going to have it when I'm ready for it. But right now I'm going to enjoy you eating it. Can I get you one? I would do it that way. That way, like, you don't have to eat it later if you don't want to. If you want to put it on your plan for tomorrow to be an integrity or whatever you want to do, you can do that. But I would be thinking about, like, right now, it feels like you're trying to come at this from the place of, like, I shouldn't eat this.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, this is a great opportunity for me to work on people-pleasing skills.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. So my other question is, do you think me being focused on the number instead of my size is what's like triggering me to self-doubt that I can get there?
For sure. Because,
yeah.
But this is the thing. So this is where it's tricky. We're not going to stop looking at the number.
Right.
We're going to trigger self-doubt because it's just a thought that's happening. And we're going to work on being confident instead. Because right now, the easy thing to do, be like, well, I will quit watching the number. And you can do this, Diane, if you want to. So the easy way is to just like, all right, I'm going to quit thinking about the number. I am going to double down on the habits. Like, I'm going to focus on those and I'm going to feel confident in the habits. And I'm just going to, like, I'm going to work on my people, please. I'm going to do all of that. And that should equal this.
Okay.
But it might not.
Yeah.
But it should. Or you can just be like, I'm going to continue to look at the number. I'm also going to do all this other stuff. But every time self-doubt gets triggered, I want to know the thought causing it because I want to teach myself how to feel reassured in the moment of self-doubt. So how can I have like a shitty thought and be like, oh God, I feel so much doubt. And then say like, how can I reassure myself in this moment? I can reassure myself by saying, I am watching my habits. I'm working on my people pleasing. I am seeing the things that I need to solve. And I'm working on those. And that will reassure you so that you quit triggering doubt in the number. That's the long-term solution.
Yeah, I think thought work, excuse me, is important. And in my accountability group, we decided next month we're going to do thought work. Thoughts 2.0.
2.0? Okay.
Yeah. Good. I've done it before, but I think the three of us are going to redo it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I cannot remember. Yesenia, do you know what next month's plan or next month's course is for everyone? I know y'all think I'm a bozo because I can't remember nothing, but I have written so much content in the last 8 weeks and filmed so many different things. I'm like, the hell are we even releasing? Like, it's been a whirlwind of stuff. I think it's 24-hour planning. I think next month is all about 24-hour planning. So yeah. Okay. But okay. Y'all do thoughts 2.0. That'll be great for y'all.
Yeah, I think so. I have a hard time with that. So.
Well, get on it because when you allow yourself to do the thought work, you allow yourself to fundamentally change all of the insecurities, all of the doubts, and all of the worries. You know, we try to lose weight to get away from those. It's like, let me just keep losing weight. How much weight have you lost?
Well, total before I joined, I used to weigh 350 and now I'm 195 with a goal of 190.
Okay, let me ask you this. The version of you that was did you say 350?
Yeah.
All right. The version of you is 350. I want you to go back to Diane at 350. Do you think she would be sitting there going, I just have so much doubt. I've got 5 more pounds to lose. Yeah. Or do you think she would have thought at 195, she was like, fuck you, Diane. Hallelujah. You get on the train. You better feel confident. Like, you've done the hard work already.
Yeah. 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 I give myself credit. And I've journaled on that. And I made a list of everything that I have accomplished that I never thought I would.
Yeah.
And that was very helpful for me.
Well, that's I always love to spotlight this because that is like for all of us. It's like, say you've lost, like our last person, I've lost 100 pounds. I've regained 5. And then there was a version of us that had lost 95 pounds and was at that same weight and thought, I am well on my way. Like, I've got this. Or they were thinking like, oh my God, at some point, like, that number meant something different to you. So like, there was a version of you at 350 that thought 195 would have you naked in the streets. And then you're here and you're just like, I don't know. I got like 5 pounds to lose. You think I should like, blah, blah, blah. Like, let's do strategies. Can we like think about all my self-doubts and my worries right now? You know? Yeah. So that's how I love to show y'all. It's like the numbers and how much you lose and all that stuff does not do anything for your brain. You have to do your brain work if you want any of that to matter. Because you can feel just as bad thin as you can feel overweight.
Right. I, as an adult, I'm thinner now than I ever have been as from teenager on. You know, I was over 200 pounds in high school.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am proud. I am proud of that.
Well, good. Anytime you want like to weigh in, and you see your number and you know you're 5 pounds away, let your brain have its doubty thoughts. And then you need to come back and just say, I just want to remind myself that this is the thinnest I've ever been as an adult. Like, I have an accountability group. I am planning. I'm getting coached. Like, this is what a weight loss success story looks like. Like, you are a weight loss success story. It's not how much weight you lose. It is the version of you that you're living is what makes a success story, and reminding yourself of that. That will help too.
Right. And, you know, like you, I was on every program known to man since I was in high school. And this, your program, I am just so grateful for, because it's the only one that has made me reflect back on me and taught me my my value and my worth.
Instead of
like, oh, here I go again. I gained, you know, like Weight Watchers that, you know, walk of shame going up to the scale.
That is the fucking truth. Right.
Yes.
I think we've all been traumatized by, you know, the little old Weight Watcher scale just sitting there with the Grim Reaper waiting on us. Congratulations on all your success. And then next month, I know y'all are going to do Thoughts 2.0, but I want you to watch module 2 of Maintenance when it comes out, because that's one where we talk about there's some easing up stuff, but it talks about what success people do. And in particular, the one video is the imposter syndrome one. I think that will really help you, because it starts helping us identify where are the little pieces of our old mindset that we're hanging on to that we might not even see. So it's a really good video. I've never taught this concept inside the membership, so I think you'll like it. Okay.
Yeah. I've really been enjoying the maintenance videos in that. I've been following.
Good.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All righty.
Bye. Appreciate everything. Bye.
Michelle? Yeah, that walk of shame. I tell people all the time, my walk was usually in the lightest clothes I could find. I wouldn't even get on that scale if I drank water, not peed. I had to take my shoes off, all the jewelry too. I wanted nothing, just sway that number. All right, Michelle, what do you want coaching on?
Okay, so I have been in the membership since March of 2021. I started at 182. I got as low as 137. I'm 5'2". And right now I've been hovering about between 139 and 143, which has been like a really comfortable range for me. I'm going to walk in the next room here. Here's the thing. So I have a few things that get stuck in my head and make me think that I need to lose more weight. Even though I love my lifestyle right now, I drink the amount that I want to drink. I eat what I want to eat. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I get a good variety of foods in my system. Like, I feel good about everything. So these are the things. So first of all, I set my goal for 135 and I never got there. So I feel like that's somehow like a failure that I never got there.
Is it really a failure?
I don't know. Like, I feel like the idea is like to set a goal to reach it. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, but why did you pick that number? Did you just pull it out your ass? I mean, is there like, what's the reason behind the number? One thing I always tell people, I have this problem in business. So I know everybody thinks we're the most successful company ever. People are always like, oh my God, y'all must be doing this. Like, hell, we miss our goals all the time. And I always remind myself when I miss a goal, the goal is like my self-worth has nothing to do with the goal. It has to do with tactics. Number one. Number two, most of the time, the goals that I pick, I'm like, all right, well, I need to pick something. And I pull something out my ass. There's not usually like a ton, like most of us are going to pick a weight that we think is going to be good. And then we're like, okay, now that I've committed, my self-worth is based on it. It's like, like, how did you, why 135?
Well, I know part of it, or I mean, probably a significant part of it is the BMI. So that puts me in a normal BMI.
The outdated BMI that everybody says is, you know, it was based off a 5'2 European male.
I know, but it's like, I feel like it's been held over my head my whole life.
No, it hasn't. You like, who's holding it over your head right now other than you? Where's the BMI police?
I know.
But I feel say like these things because you need to hear yourself. You're just like, oh my well, God, like, I've been held over my head all these years.
I remember like going into the doctor when I was like 12 years old and like the doctor pulls out the BMI chart and says,
how
like,
old are you?
Look, you know, you're.
Wait, how old
45.
Are you?
45.
I don't even know the math, but it's at least what 30 something years ago. 30 yeah. years ago, if we had said we would take pictures and store them on this, somebody would have been like, you madness. That could never happen. Like, we won't have landlines. You're drunk. Like, I just love how you're just like, 30-year-old science is held over my head today. It's like, sometimes science changes. You could just say there, like, I will bet you there are more articles on the Google right now that say the BMI blows goats than there are, like, we should all base our self-worth on it.
That's fair. Okay, but then I have another reason.
All right. That. So we are definitely going to retire the BMI though, correct?
Okay, you got it.
I cut the cord of the hanging of the thing over your head. All right, what's okay. next?
Okay, and then the other thing is that I think my legs are too fat.
So you have a thought that your legs are too fat. And if you were to lose, 2 pounds, yeah. suddenly you're just like, my legs are a sexy beast.
Probably.
You really?
But then the other, so the other, so no. So, I mean, the other thing is that I feel guilty that I didn't go low enough. I don't know.
Right. You just have a lot of fun.
I love my lifestyle. I eat what I want to eat. I drink what I want to drink. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, why don't we think more about that and just maintain for a little bit? Now, here's my best advice to you. You have every reason to be like, I would actually, like, if I could write a prescription, I would. My prescription would be no more weight loss for Michelle until she absolutely loves herself and appreciates all she's done for herself at this weight. And when that happens, and she really understands why she wants to look. What are you talking about? 3 pounds? Would you say you weighed?
So that's like the first goal. But then I noticed as I got closer that I wasn't as thin as I thought I would be. And I thought I should change my goal to 125. So like I have both thoughts.
Right. But here's the thing. If you want to change it to 125, we got to love our reason for it. Right now, like, I don't love that your reason is my legs are fat.
Not really inspiring, huh?
No. it will net, let me just tell you, you will spend probably the next 5 years frustrated, because I want you to think about this. When you think my legs are fat, you feel what?
Ashamed.
Ashamed. So that is the think, feel, do cycle that right now you're trying to motivate yourself to lose weight from. You also have another think, feel, do cycle, which is like, I love my life. I get to do all the things I want. I'm getting to like drink and do the things I want. How does that feel?
That feels great.
All right. So which one is going to win out every day when you are trying to lose weight? Ashamed or great?
I mean, I don't know.
Great.
Yeah.
I promise you, except this is what's going to happen is you're going to try to make plans from shame and then you're going to break them. And then you're going to feel shame that you're not doing that. You're going to feel like a failure. Like it, I think you were the one that, no, it was the last caller who said, I feel like a failure as I don't have my last 5 pounds gone. You'll feel like a failure and you'll miss out on your life. You'll stop thinking about how great all this is and you'll start thinking about how terrible it is that you're not pulling the trigger.
Right.
And so I'm not saying not to lose like basically 12 pounds, because now you're talking 12 pounds instead of like the 2 or 3.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is until you have a reason that you feel great about, you won't want to do the things you need to do. Because it can't outweigh the joy and the pleasure that you're getting out of your current life.
Yeah. And you know, that's so interesting. I told my accountability partner, like, I wish I could try on 125 and see how it feels without having to do the work to get there. To see
if you actually can. You can tell us right now, like, what do you think you would be thinking and feeling about yourself at 125? Nobody has to weigh that. Like you think that 125 is going to like, here's what I promise. If you got to 125 and all you did was keep thinking the way you're thinking right now, you would get to 125 and you would like, I hope I can stay here because I don't want my fat legs back.
Yeah, totally.
Like you wouldn't have changed the relationship with yourself. You would have hoped the number changes the relationship with yourself, but you always land at your goal weight with whatever thinking that you got into the habit of thinking. So it's not like you wouldn't hit 125 and have like moments where you just be like, this is great. I've done it, blah, blah, blah. But it wears out real quick because your brain is like, all right, when we get over the initial like newness, I got to go back to the way I've always been thinking because I can't think excited new thoughts all the time. That's not the way the brain works. It's just like when you get a car. Have you ever bought a new car?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The first like 6 weeks, you pretty much love driving it.
Right.
Like we keep it clean. We're like, get that shit out of my car. Don't put your foot up on that. I mean, we are maniacal. I will walk around my car and be like, has anybody hit it? Ooh, it looks so pretty. Like we do all the things. 6 or 8 weeks later, next thing you know, it's like, well, I got a receipt. I'm just going to lay it right here. And then we're like, I don't really feel like going to get it washed today. I mean, that was all fun and games the first few weeks, but you know, 6-8 weeks in, we're just kind of like, well, we can skip this week. The newness wears off. The brain is supposed to allow newness to wear off. And when the newness wears off, guess what? Our old patterns happen. So if you treated your other car like shit, eventually you treat this one like shit. And by the time all of you think about it, how many of you have swore to God that when you got a new car, this time will be different? I'm going to treat it like this is the car. This is the one. Then you go trade it in and they're like, look at that mom mobile that just came rolling up. There's like Cheetos and goldfish in every crevice that ever was known to man. Nobody did anything different outside of the first 2 months. Our brains are the same way at Goldway. So if you don't teach yourself how to think differently now, you're going to get to 125. And you have this idea that even getting there is going to be like, you haven't even rectified your thoughts. Has getting to this weight been a miserable process?
No.
Right. But for some reason you think like, well, I don't want to do all the hard work to get there. So like your brain is a mess about these pounds. So what I would do is I would pause weight loss. You can still do your planning, still do your basics. You still can do all that. But I want you to quit thinking about weight loss. And I want you to start thinking about, I want to know what I would be thinking and feeling at 125 that I think I would be. I want to try it on in my brain. Whatever thoughts that I think I'm going to have at 125, I need to start thinking like that person now. So what is one thing that's different between you now and at 125?
I really think the only thing that is different is that I'm going to think that I look great.
Okay. So that's perfect. I'm going to look great at 125. So right now, you have to start telling yourself the parts that already look great from the weight loss you've had, instead of thinking about my fat legs. Otherwise, when you get there, you're not going to do that. You're going to think, I look great, and pray to God I can keep it. And then you'll start examining your body and be like, well, 125 didn't fix that. I thought it would. Just like you thought that your legs would look very different right now. And you're like, what happened? And it's only because you're only looking for what's wrong at 137 instead of what's right at 137 and what's different than it used to be. And why this body, like, what can it do that it used to not? How does it function that it used to not? How does it look different that I actually do like? Like, you're not spending enough mental energy there. You're trying to shame your way into more weight loss.
That makes sense.
Yeah. If you fall in love with your body now, it will make losing weight easier if you want to keep going, or it will teach you, I don't even need to lose weight. Because if all I really want is to like how I look, if I teach myself how to look, yeah, I can do that now. And then I can start from a clean slate of like, that's like me. It's like, I really like how I look now. And I will tell you, 3 years ago, I thought I looked like shit and I weigh the same. 3 years ago, I was in the pain cave all the time. We would go to the pool. I was so ashamed. I would need to drink before we went to the pool. My husband loves going to the pool. I would need to drink first, like a couple drinks, just to settle my nerves down. Because all I would think is like, everybody's going to see my loose skin. Everyone's going to see my scars. Everyone's going to see, like, that's all I thought about. And now, we go, I don't even drink most of the time. Like, I drink sometimes I do drink, but never before. Sometimes I don't start drinking until we've been there at least 2 or 3 hours. Then I just want to like enjoy the sun. I just want to enjoy the music. I just want to enjoy my time. Only because I taught myself to love the body that I have instead of expecting it to change all the time. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
You watch the next module too. The imposter syndrome video will be really good for you. And then I really think, module 3, y'all are all going to love in September. That happy weight and set point weight video will be super helpful. Okay. But do your work between now and then. really do your work on liking who you are now, like figuring all that out, figuring out like what are the other thoughts I would have at 125. And you might want to start cleaning up this idea that like, why would I go, if it wasn't that bad to get here, why would I think it's going to be bad to get there? It's just going to be a little different at best.
Okay.
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 All right.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That's it for today. I hope y'all are enjoying all the maintenance stuff. I have worked really hard on this course. I'm going to break my hand, try to pat myself on the back, but I have really enjoyed writing it. A lot of you have asked for this course for years, and I will tell you, I was never ready to write it until this year. I have done so much work on myself. I can really tell that I am at the stage in my maintenance where I feel like I can truly teach y'all. So I hope it's helpful, because it's been helpful for me to even write the course. So, all right, y'all. We'll see you next month. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.